Amen. Can you believe Christmas is around the corner? Just nuts. Just, I feel like we just started this year, and now it's like, boom, it's almost over. All right, well, we got a little people, I believe the 4 to 6ers. All right, we're going to have a party over there. All right, sounds like a plan. Let me get your Bibles with you today. I always like to wave around, make the devil mad. Yeah. John Osteen used to say that all the time. And, you know, this is my Bible. I can do what my Bible says. Go this confirmation, or this confession. I remember Doc Barkley used to do that all the time in class. We used to do that. Amen. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit asunder, right? The nice thing is, the word there, you know, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that dividing the soul and spirit asunder, it kind of helps you to delineate between what's you and what's the spirit realm, right? Yeah. What the spirit is and what that is. So I'm kind of throwing them off today, but that's okay. Joshua 1:8, we're going to start there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to read in the New Living Translation. We're going to start there today, but we're still talking about thinking, right? And the reason why it's so important to focus on our thinking is because obviously it has everything to do with what we're doing, right? You know, that's where the serpent attacked the devil in the garden. The serpent, which was the devil, attacked. He starts with thoughts, and that's where, again, that's our gateway. That's the only gateway the devil has into your life is through thoughts, right? And we're seeing at the end times, we're going to talk about here in a minute more too, when we're in the end times, and sometime I probably should talk about, you know, end times and things like that. I've never really taught about it. Maybe this year I'll kind of talk about it. Because it is important to talk about end times. You know, we can get extreme, but the point is we need to be aware that we're at the end times, right? And what's going to happen and what to expect. And when you watch the news, you know, just kind of like, I knew that was going to happen. Why? Because the word said so. So there are a lot of things unfolding. And so we'll just jump right in here. Joshua verse 1. After that, the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land which I have given them. Now, and he says, and I have promised you what I promised Moses. Whatever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates rivers in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Now, if we stop right here, Moses had a difficult time with the children of Israel, didn't he? It was not easy. These are not easy people to deal with. They had what? They still had a slave mentality, right? They got it in the desert and they said, hey, you know, it would really be better off if we were still with the Egyptians, right? No. Not really. Stinking thinking always wants to go back to the way it was before. We always want to go back to what's familiar. And God is always pushing us. Here's a spoiler alert. God is always pushing us onto something new and to challenge us. The flesh always wants to go to what's comfortable, what's familiar, right? Anytime we get involved in the flesh, it's going to be what's comfortable, what makes us feel good. You know, again, there's no pushing. There's no, God is always new. He's always wanting us to grow. He's always wanting us to develop. He's pushing us into new things, right? So here's Joshua. He's seen all the horrible train wreck the Israelites happened. They're just finishing up a 40-year, camping trip in the wilderness there. And, you know, he has not been dealing with very happy campers, right? They're complaining about the menu. They're complaining about everything else. It's not good. But they've seen some amazing supernatural things along the way, haven't they? The Red Sea parted. They've had food supernaturally provided for them. They've had clothes that have not worn out. So how'd you like that? You know, ladies, you're like, well, I need to go buy a new pair of shoes. No, no, they haven't worn out in 40 years. You don't need to buy a new pair of shoes, right? Well, I need to get a new outfit. No, it's lasted 40 years. You're okay. You don't need to buy any more clothes, right? So, you know, put kind of a damper on all the malls in the area, all the, you know, Hebrew malls there in the area. But the point is that he's got his work cut out for him. And I'm sure that Joshua has a lot of things going through his head. Well, he and Caleb are the only two that came back from the 10 spies there in the book of Numbers. It says, we're able to take this land. So we know that Joshua, his thinking is right on. But God is sitting there telling him several things along the way. He says, okay, we move on here. And it says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So God is saying, okay, my Moses, my servant is dead. He's gone. You're going to be in charge. You're going to go take over this. By the way, I am going to be with you. You're not going to fail. Everything's going to work out. It's going to be all right. And then he goes on. He says, be strong, be courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore unto their ancestors. I will give them. Now, notice that there's never a question or well, how do you feel about this, Joshua? Do you feel like taking the Israelites? Are you up to it today? God never asks us any of that, does he? There's no questions at all. Like there's no polling involved. No, it's just you're the guy, you're gonna take it, you're gonna do this. And God is pumping him up. What's he doing here? He's trying to get his thinking in line with what is coming down the pipeline, right? How many of you know you got it? You got to have your mind thinking correctly so you can put one foot in front of the other. I mean, you're not going to start, right? Okay, you know we were just talking about shooting guns and everything earlier before church, you know? I mean, you know, I know I could use some lessons off of him. But the point is, the military takes you through all this training. You go through all this stuff so you feel comfortable, right? It builds your confidence so that when you're in a position you need to do that, or whatever training you do have, it should just come natural to you, right? And, you know, we always like to call it in music and other things, too. It's called muscle memory, right? Where your hands, your body just does things, certain things. Well, God is trying to get Joshua to get his thinking in line here. And then he goes on, he says, be very strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. You know, we get in trouble when we start deviating. You know, especially there in the Garden of Eden, there was a lot of deviation there, wasn't there? A whole lot of things that we got off track. God's got a great plan. And we start getting off. Do not deviate from them or turn either to the right or to the left, then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Why? So we can get our thinking in line, right? Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command, and be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we see here that God has given him instructions. He's saying, Joshua, you can do this. I'm going to be with you. It's going to be okay. After he gives the instructions, then he follows up. And we see there in other verses too, he keeps saying over and over and over again throughout this chapter, especially the first part of this chapter of Joshua, be strong, be courageous. You can do it. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to do it. What is he doing? God is trying to pound into his head, it's going to be okay. Why? Because he's seen 40 years of failure. He's seen 40 years of failure. He's seen 40 years of walking around in a desert. He's seen 40 years of things not working out. Now, he was there when he came out of Egypt. He was there when the manna fell from heaven. He was there when God kept providing, kept providing, kept providing. But now it's time to take the land. Now it's time to do that. But you see how God is trying to get our thinking in line. Josh was thinking before he goes and he conquers and he moves forward. Before he even takes one step forward, God is sitting there getting Joshua's mindset clear. And I imagine Joshua turned around, and he's probably thinking, any of you knuckleheads out there that are doubting, goodbye, right? Because again, Joshua and Caleb were the two that came back, and they're the ones that said, we can take the land. Their thinking was in line. And Josh is probably sitting there going, I am fed up with walking around this desert for 40 years. We're going to take this thing, right? We're going to do this. And it all begins with our thinking. Philippians 4:8. Again, we talked about it a little bit last week. Excuse me. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. This is New Living Translation. I'll start with this, sorry. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Okay? God is giving us a formula here how to think. Think about whatever things are true. Boy, there's a lot of false, a lot of fake news out there, isn't there? There's a lot of junk out there, right? There's a lot of garbage out there to meditate on. And honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Right? Many people will say things like, well, I just don't experience God. Well, what are you meditating on? Right? You know? Like, for example, we'll go to work. Some of us, go to work tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and I don't have anything against football, but, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? And everybody's talking about the football games and everything else, too. And I enjoy watching football games, but what are you meditating on? You're watching football. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but you listen to somebody for 5 minutes, and you can pretty much tell what it is they've been meditating on. Here we go, 2 Corinthians 10. Talking about the Amplified Classic here. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. I'll just stop right here. sometimes, obviously we cannot defeat our thoughts often a lot through natural things. Some people will, I got to go talk to the psychologist and I got to do this and I got to, and there may be some things about that. But we got to understand where the source comes from. Right? I mean, I took some psychology. We got some people in here that have some psychology backgrounds. Through all my psychology classes, nobody ever talked about the root of thought. Where does it originate from, right? Hello? Don't you think that's important? I mean, don't you think that's kind of a big deal to know where our thoughts originate from? I've never had any psychology class that I've ever had or any counseling or anything. Nobody's ever talked about where our thoughts originate from. Right? And you know what, too? Nobody ever talks about controlling your thoughts often. Right? You just take this drug, take this, do this, do this, do this. We have complete control and responsibility to control our mind. Hello? And we're living in a world, too, where everything is not our fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's because of this program or that program or this particular party or that particular party or our parents or grandparents or this program or whatever it is, right? Or that creepy pastor, that guy, right? So how can you control thoughts if you have no idea where they come from? And you have the outlook that I can't help it anyway because my thoughts are my thoughts and I have no control over them. That's not true. We're reading right here because they are not natural. So what that means is we cannot use natural things, right? We're not going to get a gun. We're not going to fight our thoughts. We're not going to fight. This is not something that we're going to, wrestle with. And no. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. We just read that. But they are mighty before God for the what? For the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Your thoughts that are not of God, they are strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, let's stop right there. This is pretty important. Every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God. You know, a stronghold is anything that is against the knowledge of God, right? But yet, too, we think, especially psychology and some of these, you know, practices, if it goes against it, it's okay, right? It's not a big deal. You know, there's a place over by where we used to live, not too far from us, is Mount Pleasant, and there's a place there where they have a mental health facility. And they also have real close to there, and that place is full. And they also have close to there, Maharishi International. And, you know, that whole thing is about clearing your mind, voiding your mind of any thoughts, right? What happens is something's going to enter your thought life, okay? It's going to be good or bad, one of the two. And when you put no gate, no nothing on your thought life, anything can enter in, right? And everything's okay, right? Everything's subject to whatever. There's a lot of people over there. Why? Because they're opening their mind to different things. And we see here that if it's not according to the knowledge of God, then we're opening ourselves up to a whole playground. We're opening ourselves up to a whole mess of problems that we don't, right? And then we'll, there in verse 6, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate or his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. Did you know that we need to punish the wrong thoughts in our life to control it? You know, if we had the idea that our thoughts are like poison, or we could, you know, it's deadly, what would we do? Can you imagine if Jesus meditated on things like that, right? You know, if Jesus didn't guard his thoughts, well, we wouldn't be here today, I'll tell you that right now, right? But you know, when the devil came there after he was tempted in the wilderness, he went, the Holy Spirit, you know, can I tell you something too? The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into areas where you're uncomfortable. You notice how the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the battle? But it was already won. Isn't that cool? And the same here with Joshua, you know. We always think that, well, God is never going to lead me to do something uncomfortable. Well, excuse me, that's kind of the definition of Christianity, is absolute discomfort. Let's just take a look here, too. You know, the battle for your thinking is in a large percentage of people are falling to this thinking, right? And let's just say this. The things that are acceptable now were not acceptable 20 years ago. Think about it. It's a gradual progression, isn't it, that we see, right? I mean, just think about all the immorality 20 years ago, right? And now it's considered encouraged behavior, right? And again, most people have no idea why they think what they think. And I would say this too, you know, we got some people in education here too, and I was in education for a while, but, you know, a lot of the people that set this agenda and do these things have no idea why they're doing it. I mean, they don't even have an understanding why they're even doing it. Again, we just talked about, think about this for a minute. Again, The world has no idea and they cannot agree on where thoughts originate. Right? They're saying, well, there's no God. There's no, you know, everything just evolved. Well, I'm sorry, where did thought come from? Where did love come from? Where did emotions come from? Right? I'm sorry, but if I take rock and dirt and throw it in there and I wait a million years later, what are you going to have? Right? I like this cartoon. One time, these scientists were like, well, God, we can do it. And he goes, okay, fine, get your own dirt. Right? Get your own elements. Get your own chemicals. Hello? We got to start with something. And again, most people support and encourage thoughts. They have no idea what the root or the source of the motivation is, right? Just because everybody else is doing it. Well, it must be, right? We talked about this before. You know, if I have a board, and if I don't go back to my measuring tape, and if I don't measure out a foot exactly the same time, and I just cut that board, and then I take that same board, and I go over here, and I cut that, and I cut that, and I cut that, and I take the next one, and the next one, pretty soon my board that was a foot long is 2 feet long, right? The reason why we have the Bible, guys, and the reason why Jesus came is because he's the ruler, meaning he's the point of measurement for us. He's the standard, right? I love Brother Hagin, and I love Kenneth, you know, Copeland, and I love all these people, but here's the thing. If I base my life off of their example, then I'm still skewed. Does that make sense? Even though they're great. Paul said, follow me, what? As I follow Christ, meaning I'm following Christ, but join me in the journey. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth, right? Guys, let's just say this too. Faith is not of this world. Faith goes completely against, we talk about faith. Faith goes against this world system, right? Because everything is about what you can see, how you can see it. And I have nothing against science, right? And in fact, you know, one of the things here in the book of Daniel, if you study, we see the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, you know, and it says when they were there, they were accomplishing science and all these other things. So they understood things, and we're not against education. But here's the thing, if you're only focusing on what you can see, you're missing a lot, especially the spirit realm. Well, I can't see it, you know. And God is so wise in his wisdom because, you know, we always want to see God, and, you know, someday we'll see him, you know, we're born again, it'll happen. And you were thinking to yourself, well, why wouldn't God just show up and, you know, show off in this world and everything else too? Why? Because he wants us to have faith in him without seeing. Paul dealt with this too. You know, the goddess Diana, they always want to make these little figurines and they made money off of it and they worshiped the figures. God doesn't want us to be focused on a figure or an image. He wants us to focus on him, right? The Bible even talks about, you know, in the Old Testament, discussing, you know, here you are, you're fools because you take a piece of wood, you cut it in half, you burn part of it to keep you warm, but then you carve the other half as a god to worship. And it's a piece of wood. So, you know, we are seeing, especially in times, and this is where I want to get to this morning, we'll talk more about it, but the end times, you know, we're seeing so many things right now as far as, you know, the hate speech. And guys, why is that? Because we're getting so close to the end that the enemy and the devil is testing the ground. How far can I go? How far can I do? Because guess what? It's going to happen eventually. If you've read, let me just back up here. Eventually, sometime, we're going to see the rapture. Man, I hope it's today, right? I hope Jesus comes back today. Man, come Lord Jesus, right? That could be tomorrow. That could be a year from now, 5, 10, 50 years. I don't know when it is. Nobody does. Only he does. But there's going to be a point where there is going to be a rapture, okay, in the end times. What that means is called the calling away. And, you know, up to that point, there's going to be a point where, let's just say this, if you don't agree with the thought process of the beast, you're going to get a checkup from the neck up. So what I'm saying is this, we have an opportunity right now, and it's getting the window's getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Well, we've got this freedom of, you know, thought, you know, we can accept Jesus, we can do these things, but there's going to come a day where if you don't have a mark on your forehead or your hand, and if you don't agree with them, you're done. That's the big difference between the world system and the devil and God. God says, you have a free choice. I'm giving you an opportunity to accept me. You can do it. I love you. The other one says, if you don't do what I tell you to, I'm going to kill you. That's the world system, you know? And we're getting there gradually, 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 gradually. And you sound like, well, that sounds ridiculous. No, the Bible says specifically that you're going to be killed for your faith's sake. And, you know, some people laugh about the whole thinking process, but here's the whole point. If you don't think the way the devil thinks in the end times, if you don't do what he says, eventually he's going to kill you. And we see that in Revelations, right? And I always ask people, I'm like, why would you, you know, why wouldn't you serve God now while it's easy? Or we have an opportunity now? Why wouldn't you think his thoughts? But I'm just saying this, that freedom that we enjoy, we're going to see the world is getting more and more aggressive against. Did you know that the most persecuted group in the world is Christians and Jews? But you never hear anything on TV about it, right? No. We are the most persecuted. Now, it doesn't look like it here, right? But, you know, a place where I was ministering at in Africa, you know, we left. Muslims came in, and I wasn't there. It was a trip before me. They came in and burnt the church to the ground. Ran everybody off, right? So, again, you know, we're under persecution here. Why? Because the spirit of Antichrist is here in the world. And if you think different thoughts, then it's going to become more and more aggressive. In the end times, there in Revelation, again, if you are not going to submit to the beast or his thoughts in this world system, you're going to pay the consequence. I would gladly pay the consequence if I could spend eternity with Jesus, right? I don't want to go through that. I'd rather just go in the rapture, get out of here. You know, we're born again. But this thought process with our thoughts, it is very vital and it's very serious. And the devil takes it very serious too. And we've seen it all the way throughout the Bible. What, Nebuchadnezzar? If you don't bow down to the idol, you're going in that furnace. So, you know, anytime that the enemy comes along and he has a different thought process than him, it's about bullying you. It's about manipulating you to get you to do something, right? And we have the freedom in this dispensation during the church age where we can have that. It will soon close, though. It will soon close, right? That's why, again, Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Faith is weird to this world, even to Christians. I mean, you talk about Christians, I mean, it's like, well, you know, I'll pray for you, or can you pray? I'm not feeling well. Can you pray for me? Or, I mean, to a lot of the world, Christian world, that's just weird. They don't expect God to do anything, right? Tithing. Well, there's another one for you. And when the world system says, how can you get when you give? That doesn't make any sense. Because spiritual laws are different than natural laws often, right? But it all comes back, you know, the world calls it karma. You know, that's the... No, it's sowing and reaping. It's sowing and reaping. That's why spiritual things don't have an understanding. I don't understand being born again, do you? I can't see my spirit man being born again or renewed on the inside, right? Why would a God come down, renew me, when I've been mean to him and I haven't obeyed him and I've done bad things and I've rebelled against the God, why would he come down and renew and love me anyway? The world doesn't think like that. No, that's why we have so many religions and Christians. The only faith that comes out, again, it's so foreign to the world's thinking is why? Because every other religion says you got to earn salvation. And it's completely foreign to everybody, right? I got to earn it. I got to go on this journey. I got to do this. I got to go, you know, here once a year. I got to go there once a year. I got to do this. I got to do this. And I got to do this. No, he came. He paid the price for us. The beauty is we just couldn't do it on our own. And again, just because, and this is a world system, just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true, right? Well, I've never seen God prove him to me. You've ever seen the wind? No, you've seen the results of the wind, but you've never seen the wind. Hello? Well, I just don't, but are you kidding me? I've never seen Pluto. Just in the cartoons, but, you know, Pluto, the planet, right? I've never seen that, but I guess it's there. Hello? Mars? I guess it's there. First Corinthians 3:18. Well, let no one deceive himself. How do we deceive ourselves? It goes on here. If anyone among you thinks your thoughts can deceive you, right? You know the crazy thing about being deceived? You don't know you're deceived. Right? Hello? Deceived people don't know they're deceived. But it says here, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, one translation says wise in his own eyes, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Think about Jesus for a minute here. Jesus came. He was the son of a carpenter. Hello? Yeah. Had no formal education. Right? I always like this too, you know, how you ever have those surveys, they call you up, those political surveys and everything too, and they always want to say, they always come back and they always say, well, you know, how many years of education do you have? What's your education level? Does this make a difference? I guess I'm just confused here, right? Hello? I mean, I'm nothing against education, but I'm thinking to myself, what does this have to do with anything? Right? Jesus had no formal education that we know of. Hello? He was the most brilliant human being that's ever walked the planet. The most amazing wisdom ever. Jesus completely defied everything here on the earth. Right? No education. Had wisdom beyond. Did all these miracles. Did amazing things. Did the supernatural. Just amazing. You know, a supernatural birth. God will take the humble things and turn things around, right? Now, again, if you got education, great. That's awesome. I'm not against education. Again, I've got some, but it's just still, it's the point we're making here, right? And you deceive yourself, what? In your own eyes. The scary thing is somebody that has all the answers. That's who scares me, right? That stuff scares me. So again, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, another one says in his own eyes, let him become a fool that he may become wise. What's that mean? It means we need to be stripped down. Guys, the way in the kingdom is the way up in the kingdom is down. And the way of the world is you gotta stomp on everybody. You got to do what you can to get to the top, right? I used to work in one of those companies where, I mean, you know, everybody's just so drunk with, you know, ambition. He couldn't trust anybody. It was ridiculous after a while. But in God's kingdom, you go down. What does that mean, being a servant? It doesn't make sense, does it? A couple things as we close here. The Word of God will expose your thinking. You know, it's amazing. Before I really got into the Word and everything, I thought, well, I've gone through this school and blah, 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 blah. And you all of a sudden you find out when you get in the Word, and you're like, I don't know anything. I'm kind of dumb, really, when it comes to spiritual things, right? I'm still like, ooh, still finding out new things all the time, right? The Word of God will expose your thinking. You listen to somebody talk for, you know, an hour or so, or watch a TV program, and you're thinking, they ain't got any Bible in them. I mean, they have no, you know, and it doesn't mean anything against them, but it just means right here that the Bible will expose our thinking. It'll expose what? Our motives. Hebrews 4, you know, I was just talking about that earlier. The Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, will divide the soul and the spirit asunder. It'll define you and what God's will is. Again, you can sit by, is that me or is that God? Well, if it's not Bible, it's not God. Here's something else too. I always ask myself, who's saying it and where is this information coming from? Who's saying it and where's this information coming from? Again, I always ask myself, who's saying it and where is this information coming from? Why are they saying this? Deception originates with a thought, right? It originates with a thought, and it's always outside the Word. It's always outside the Word. Everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. Oh, it'll be okay. Like Keith Moore used to say all the time, if it ain't quite, it ain't right. You know? It's a little bit off. You know? Nobody will find out. Oh, there's a good one. Yeah, that's not good. Oh, I just need this to take the edge off, right? I was like some psychologists say, softeners. You know, we're always using things as softeners on ourselves. Always giving us a way out. God doesn't give us a way out. He does give us a way out, but not by the flesh, right? Not in our own ability, not in these things. Things like, for example, you know, let's... 2 Timothy 2:7. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. You know what? God's going to give you understanding in everything. You know, one of my heroes, the guy was very, very, had a volatile temper and was Nikolai Tesla. The guy was brilliant. He's kind of a Beethoven or a Mozart. When it comes to, you know, inventions and all these things, he was absolutely brilliant. So all the things we use today, he's amazing. But let me look at just the list of some of the things, some of the 10 inventions that he discovered. And I want to get to something here. Number one, he did the Tesla coil. He also invented magnifying transmitter. Some of the stuff may not, but we're going to get into some things here that's going to be... The Tesla turbine, the shadow graph. Here's one for you, the radio. Now, not just the radio like we think AM, FM radio, but everything that we use, there's so many things that we use that use radio technology that is wireless. Okay? It all came from him. The neon light. Niagara Falls transformer. He's the one that helped design the Niagara Falls to do that and created these enormous transformers that provided power to everybody. The induction motor, He also came in the late 1800s and invented the radio-controlled boat. Can you imagine that back then? A wireless remote-controlled boat before any of that stuff happened? Here's one. Back in my electronic days, he and I'll explain why this is so vital. He invented alternating current, AC. And back then, we see that, I think it was, no, it wasn't Newton, it was one of the guys he worked for, I can't remember who it was he worked for a short time, but he was totally into DC power. What that means is this, DC power is, it's battery powered. So can you imagine if we had to have a battery to light everything else here? And Tesla came along and said, no, there's this thing called alternating current I'm working on, that's going to revolutionize everything else too. And that's what we have all these plug-ins, right? So we don't have to have this monstrosity battery back here that we have to change out all the time. It's alternating current. We use it today in everything that we use, right here in the walls. If not, we have to have a gigantic battery. Well, that's good technology, right? If you have a flashlight or something. But my point is this, that all the stuff that we take for granted right now, God revealed it to somebody at some point in time. Right? Our cars that we have, again, where do you think this knowledge and the wisdom it came from? It came from God, right? There's a source that we have to tap into. Who gave us the ability to reason things out and to engineer things and to design things? And where did that instinct come from? Or the quest to have new things? Or the quest and the hunger to discover? It came from God, right? Because again, it all goes back to where does thought originate? I've never heard anybody talk about where does thought originate. It originates from God. We also see that the devil, he brings thoughts to us, right? That are evil and destructive. Again, we just read that scripture there. Think on these things, whatever good, true, lovely, of good report. What? Think on these things. Honest report? Well, I just don't know how to do it. Guess what? I know somebody that does. I just don't think I can go through that and do that. You can. How many people over the years I've talked to them and they said things like, well, I just can't do it. Okay, well then don't. Because you've already defeated yourself. Why even try then? There have been times where I'm like, I have no idea how to do this, but I'm going to figure it out. Right? God's going to help me. Hello? It's just the determination to do it. Right? It's hilarious because, you know, I went to college for music. I took band, like, I don't know. It was when I was in grade school. So from grade school to pretty much when I went to college, I really didn't have anything to do with music. And everybody said, it's just crazy. You can't do it. But I was like, I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm going to do it, right? Because there's a will, there's a way. It's your thinking. I've done other things where it's just people are just like, that's crazy, I don't know. You do it, right? You take it. You pass a test. You do something. You do. Why? It's all about, I can do this. It's a thought process. Right there, we just read Joshua 1:8. God says, meditate on the word day and night. And then what? You're going to have good success. I'm no brilliant person, but I just know this. That with me and God, we're a majority, if you didn't know that already. And if you team up with God, you're a majority too. So I don't have to have a big fanfare to, you know, do things. It's just me and him, right? He can give me the ability to do it. My thinking. Again, we're dealing with mindset. And let me just say this also too. It just kind of gave you some other things with this, you know, the world, then again, just to compare, as we're closing here, just to compare the world's mentality to God's mentality, right? God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, be multiply, I've given you all these resources. The world system says everything's going to end. We got to get rid of population. We need to get rid of people, right? Because we're getting too overpopulated. But if I focus on the Bible says that He's provided all of our needs. See, the world says scarcity. God says provision. And you're going to have to decide which camp you're going to get in. God says, I've provided all of your needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. The world system says you can't have that because, again, we have limited resources and it's just, you know, you can't do that. God says, no, I've provided everything for you before you even got there. Again, that's about faith, isn't it? I like to think about this. Wherever God guides, He what? Provides. I am preaching real good today. I don't know y'all think, I'm just telling you right now, I need a longer arm so I can pat myself on the back. I'm kidding. So. But it's Bible, isn't it? It's not me. It's all Bible. And it's getting our thinking wrapped around and changing the thought process because we are getting bombarded about, ladies, what you need to wear. Right? Guys, what you need to wear. What you need to do. Are you doing this? You know, you need to do this for a living. You need to do that for a living. This is what you should do. This is how you feel. This is how you should think. Right? Can I just say this? The people, I think we're going to be really shocked when we get to heaven to see who has the biggest mansions in heaven. Because the kingdom is not about the Hollywood rock star image, you know, the whatever. God is about being a servant. Again, it's a different mentality. Second Timothy 3, we'll close here. 2 Timothy 3, New Living Translation. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer, persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and themselves be deceived. So guess what? We're in a war right now with our thinking. When you turn on the TV, it's a war for your mind. Right? So just get it right now. Settle this in your heart right now. If you're going to live for God, you're going to be persecuted. And this is where some people give up on the faith, right? Because it gets hard. It's easy to paddle along with the stream, just float along, easy life, you know, in the inner tube, just floating along the river. Everything's cool, you know. This is why some people, well, I just don't understand. But evil people and imposters will what? Flourish. So they think. For a little time, for a short while. Verse 14, you must remain faithful to the things that you've been taught. Guys, you've got to remain faithful to the things you're taught. You know they're true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have been given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes from trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, here we go, is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us what to do, what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Guys, number one, the Scripture, the Bible, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's breathed by the Holy Spirit into men, which men put into writing and we receive, right? If we need God thoughts, then we need to read God thoughts. If you're watching something, you're just thinking, ah, this isn't right. Or you watch some minister or something, right? It's just, ah. The Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you in all truth. Your thinking is going to make or break you. You know, we were just talking about being thankful this morning in prayer. When you begin to praise God, you know, all depression is just simply focus on yourself. That's it. I mean, you're just self-absorbed is the epitome of depression and oppression, right? But you get to praise God and you think more about Him and His goodness. It's hard to have a bad day after that. I mean, your thinking goes align, right? And also, too, one thing is your mind will follow your tongue, right? I can't think and say two different things. When I say it, my mind is going to go there. If I begin to speak, you know, the goodness of God, my mind goes there. That's why the Bible says, forget not all my benefits. Especially all the way through the Old Testament, God kept pointing back to you. Remember when I did this, guys? Remember when I did that? Remember when I did that? Remember when I did that? Because God is trying to get His people, and He's trying to get Jesus too, when He was here on the earth, He's trying to get us through the Word to focus on, if He's done it then, He'll do it again. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did good things back then. Guess what? He's going to do good things right now. And then guess what? He's going to do good things in the future. And He's for us. If you ever read about some of the martyrs in Rome that at the Colosseum when the Christians were dying, you know, they would be tied to a post, burning, and they'd just be singing praises to God. Why? There's something supernatural about it. It didn't make sense. The Romans are scratching their head going, okay. They'd be eaten alive by lions and they'd be praising God, right? Because God gave them a supernatural ability to withstand that in that moment. There was grace on them. They didn't care about being eaten by lions, you know. They were so focused on God, it didn't matter anymore, right? Why? Because I'm that close to heaven. I'm just about there. See y'all later. I'm going to come back with Jesus and we'll settle it up then, right? That's all perspective. You know, it's all perspective. If our mentality is, great, I didn't get the brand new, Mercedes that I wanted. Or if we just say, well, praise God, thank you. This person bought me a meal today. Or this, you know. Again, it's all about focusing on the good things of God, right? Getting our mind straight. Getting our mind focused. And it doesn't matter who persecutes me because we just read the Bible said that if we're going to run with God, we're going to get persecuted. If we're going to do these things, it's going to happen, but we can still have joy in the middle of it, right? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It just makes the devil even more mad when I praise God. Because why? Because my praise and my worship enters in and allows the spirit realm to enter in and God to show up. Because it says He inhabits the praises of His people. And God manifests. We speak doubt and worry. It's like a coyote call, right? We're that hurt. You know, I got a coyote call at home, and it's you play it, and it makes sounds like a wounded rabbit, or you know, a little wounded rodent or something, and it pulls it in, right? It's supposed to call in us. That's what our doubt and worry and depression and everything. We speak all this junk and it gets our mind thinking about these things. What does it do? It just opens it up to the demonic realm. Now we have the spirit realm that's opened up. But when we begin to praise and worship God and get our mind on the things of Him, then guess what? We invite the spirit realm of God to show up on the scene. That's why God was so focused on, in the Old Testament, getting their mouths under control. And Jesus was so focused on getting their mouths under control because he knew, God knew that if I can get their mouth under control, then that'll open up a gateway, a portal for the Spirit of God to come in and do some things in our life. But if we speak, we speak doubt and negativity. That's the reason why the Word talks about don't speak doubt and negativity. We always think it's like this, watching on TV, well, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that. And it's this, we're under this, restriction, and it's this religion. No, it's a spirit realm that we're opening or closing. Praise and worship, God shows up. Amen? It's a spiritual force. That's why the devil wants to get your mouth shut, get you start talking negativity and doubt and fear and depression. And then I can bring in my demons in there and influence you and keep you depressed. But when I open up, I praise God, just like in the Old Testament, just like in the New Testament, God showed up supernaturally, defeated the enemies. And then all of a sudden, you forgot about the problem. You're on to new and bigger and better things. Father, we just thank you for this time. I worship you, God, and I thank you that I speak blessings on these people and that their mind is going to be stayed on you. And no matter whether it comes against them, whether they're dealing with something in their life right now that it seems impossible, whether just, I've talked to somebody and they just don't know what to do and this and that. Well, you know what? God knows what to do. Well, I got this financial situation, and I just don't know. It can turn around next year. It can turn around next month. It could turn around tomorrow. Father, we just break depression off people right now in the name of Jesus. That spirit of depression, go in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. We speak life. Life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. No more condemnation in the name of Jesus. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. There's no condemnation anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Those who are born again. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, if you need prayer for anything, you want to come back to Jesus, you need the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need empowered with His presence. Nobody looking around. I want you to lift your hands this morning. We want to pray for you. We always want to give an opportunity to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to make this announcement. Friday night, you do not need to be a singer. All right? Because what happens is we usually do some singing, and again, I'm not a singer. Okay, I'll tell you right now, I'm not a singer. Y'all hear me every Sunday. So obviously I'll be there, but Friday night we have an opportunity to talk and to meet some of these folks. Okay. It's a great opportunity to pray for people, just show them your love and show them you care. We've got some candy canes we're going to hand out, and I believe this too, that we can be a spiritual transmitter for people. Okay. We're handing out, don't come just say, well, I can't sing. I can't do this. No, come. Because the rest of us will drown you out. So it doesn't matter, okay? You can hide, you can lip sync, you can do the Milli Vanilli thing, and nobody will notice. But when you do show up, you can do the lip syncing thing. And then afterwards, let's pray for some people. Let's be there to minister and just be love on people. Amen? Amen. You know how many people that we've gotten born again over the years, bless you, at nursing homes and some of these homes? It's an opportunity for us. Gary and Deb did it. I know we did it. Guys, it's a great opportunity just to minister to people. So, amen. Be there Friday night. It's going to be great. You guys have a good week. Amen.